Raymond somewhere around here? Sorry, Pat, Raymond?
Call over the Stevensville Town Council meeting Monday, March 26, 2018. Do the roll call. Councilperson Holcomb.
Here.
Councilperson Barker.
Here.
Councilperson Smith.
Here.
Councilperson Michaels.
Here.
All right. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the March 12th Town Council meeting. Councilperson Holcomb.
I move we approve of the minutes from March 12th Town Council meeting.
Is there a second? Councilperson Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from March 12th Town Council meeting. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Any public comment on the minutes? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Thank you. This item is the approval of the biweekly claims. Councilperson Holcomb.
I move that we approve of the biweekly claims.
Is there a second? Councilperson Barker.
Second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims. Any discussion on the claims? Ms. Holcomb.
On page 106, 14315 for Hawkins Inc. for $1,138.05. It says Aquatic Hawk. I'm assuming it's for the pool, but I'm not sure if it is or not.
Forgive me, which page?
First page. First page.
Hawkins?
Yeah.
That's related to the water plant.
Water plant.
Ms. Barker.
Claim number 14308, 1164 ATCO International, Formula 411, for $1,180.
Also related to the sewer plant, or excuse me, water plant. Any further discussion? Any public comment on the claims? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
And Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Thank you. Administrative reports. Mr. Obagi, airport.
The gentleman named Tom from Watson would like to have a fly-in sometime in the middle of July on. He's been contacted by Ray Smith, and he's been giving numerous people to contact for porta potties. Ray has also given him numerous contacts for water. Stacy forwarded a special events request to Ray, and I believe Ray has forwarded that on to Tom over there to fill out and send back to us. So that's moving along nicely. The auction they had this weekend that Joan had for the Gallatin Star for benefit auction. Pilots at the Stevensville Airport donated four flights. Joan let me know that all four sold very quickly and sold very well. So that was nice. I would like to ask the council to adopt a resolution to increase the late fees at the airport. Currently, the fees per use per airplane per year are $125. There are no punitive measures whatsoever. There are no late fees. There are no interest. We would like to ask the council to think about doubling the fees after a 60-day grace period to $250. On the business fee, which is now $250, if they don't pay within 60 days, we'd like to ask the council to adopt a resolution to double those fees to $500. This idea comes from the state of Montana. The state of Montana, with the Secretary of State, if you don't pay on time on a $20 fee, the fee goes up exponentially more than five times. There is also a registration fee on a particular item that if the pilots don't pay for their airplane at a certain time, they quintuple, they go up five times. So doubling the fee after 60 days is well within reason. So if the council could put that on the agenda and see if we can get a resolution to have in effect by the time the new fiscal year comes along on July 1. Any questions?
Any questions for Paul?
Thank you.
Thank you. The building department report is in your packet. Any questions? Okay, move on to the fire department. Chief Motley.
Also in your packet is the activity report from February. pretty much the same type of stuff going on as before. So we have 37 requests for EMS, different EMS incidents going on. You can see up there on the report. So when you're looking at that report, your motor vehicle accidents, line 322, the accidents with injuries, we have two of those. Our goal is to have 14 firefighters show up on those types of incidences, and we're running right on 8 and 9. We did have one that was a very serious accident out on the highway. We responded in and it went very, very well. We were able to use our new extrication tools and equipment. It was night and day difference how well that went with the new equipment versus what we were using. So that was a very good deal for us, and I believe also for the outcome of the whole incident. As you continue to look down that, you'll see that our actual number of personnel and people that we think we really need to have respond on the two center columns towards the right hand side there, the 12 and 18 on that top column. 12 is what we actually get our hand on the calls, and our average, and 18 is the goal that we would like to see coming. So as you scroll down through that report, you'll see that our numbers of participants were below where we think we would like to be or where we feel we need to be to adequately perform our job. So with that said, we are looking at getting more involved in recruitment and retention program within the department so we can get those numbers up and so we have more people to draw from to serve the community. You'll see down there in town, we have 24 requests for service and 28 in the district. So again, we're running pretty even. We one mutual aid given and one mutual aid received. And our current roster is 23. Our short response time was 3 minutes. Our longest was 18. And that was our response time up to the mutual aid call. other than that, it's pretty much, I hate to say standard or same type of a report, but it kind of is. But we're now into the open burning season, and so we will be coming more and more involved that way, mutilating up to our neighbors and to the district as well as the annual fence post burning starts. We are in the middle of Firefighter 1 training at the 3 mile prop training prop. That's going very well. Between the district and the town, we're putting 3 crews through, which at completion of that should give us 6 interior qualified firemen that can go interior, offensive fire attack interior, which would be great for our numbers and our response. We did do a training burn last month, and you guys have some questions about that burn. And so here's what we did. It does have sound, but we probably don't have speakers to really make it do any justice. But what we did is we went up and on ALC Way, the old blue, gray, whatever color you want to call that house that had been there and been used. We did a multi-company training which involved Florence, 3 Mile, ourselves, and Victor and Hamilton Fire Kingdom. We also had a company come out with their drones and their video capabilities and their cameras, and they wanted to fly the fire in the event to, one, see how their equipment would work and how that might benefit us and other departments for training purposes. So that's who shot all the footage. This is kind of later on in the training event after we decided we were going to go ahead and let the building go. It was just a very few moments that it took to get to this state of involvement once we decided to let it go. And the big reason for that is there's no ceiling inside that building at all. It was just open to the trusses. And this is some of their thermal imagery that they had on their cameras that they were using. Tremendous amount of energy being released through that fire. So about once a quarter, we get together with our neighboring departments and conduct multi-company trainings like this, where we get together with the other agencies and train together. Last Thursday, we had a multi-company training where we did ventilation was the topic of training that night. And again, it was 3 Mile and ourselves and Florence that were there. So those are some of the types of training things that we're doing, and you'll see engines in and out and around town. And those are the things that are going on. So, any questions? We also did take delivery of the 2 Sabres from Missoula City. So we're just going through them and making sure they're going to be up and ready to run before we move all of our equipment onto them. But you should see them out in service shortly.
Any questions for the chief? From the public? Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay. Move on to guests. Are there any guests in tonight's audience that'd like to be recognized? Okay. We don't have any correspondence for the council tonight. We'll move on to public comment. Public comment's an opportunity to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. If you'd come to the podium, state your name and address for the record, you can make your comment.
Everybody's going to be quiet tonight, huh? I'm not going to be quiet. My name is Shirley McKibben. I live at 372 North Kootenai Creek Road, Stevensville. First of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Dewey for his willingness to serve as mayor. Your efforts on behalf of the community are appreciated. I'm proud to call Stevensville my home. I'm not so proud right at the moment, however, of the backdoor dealings of the town council. Including the request to Mr. Dewey to resign as volunteer firefighter. I don't think that serves the best interests of the community. As council members, it's not your job to make the mayor's life miserable, as reported on the news tonight. Your job is to, don't shake your head, your job is to solve issues facing this community. And I don't see that this council has been doing it and is not doing it now. Mr. Dewey was elected mayor of this town. And any actions by members of the council that do not support the business of the Stevensville town in its daily governance or future planning is a negative for our community. I thank the town council for their willingness to serve. It is a commitment, I understand that. But your calling has to be of the highest order. These positions that you occupy demand cooperation, and they demand positive actions. I respectfully ask all of you to set aside any grievances that you may have, to move forward with positive and cooperative action. If you're not able to do that, resign your position and let somebody else fill the slot. As a small town, we cannot waste our efforts. We have to be positive and we have to move forward. It's the only way a small town is going to survive. And I truly hope that all of you can see your way clear to do your jobs better than they have been done over these last number of months. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other public comment tonight?
I'm Bill Perrin, 503 Charles. In regard to what we saw in the news tonight, in regard to some email exchanges in the Greg Akerhau to make Brandon's life miserable and continue doing that as you had done to Mr. Ludington, makes me question the decision, and I questioned the night when you asked Brandon to step down as a firefighter. It seems that in your attempt to make him quit or whatever you're trying to get him to do and make his life miserable, it seemed to me, you weren't making the best decision for the town. And we made that evening. It was not said that that was those positions, there was a conflict of interest. It said they were incompatible, but it didn't say you couldn't work it out. And then, and after you even heard the testimony, you voted the other way. So it seems to me you were lying back on your attempt to either get rid of Brandon or get him to resign, and as you said in the email, make his life miserable. That doesn't make sense. The other thing that seemed a little inconsistent is that last meeting I was at, Mr. Michelson read a fairly two-page letter in regard to the issues on Third Street, and that he had gone to the press two or three times. In that, Mr. Michelson said that, you know, this is not personal, but in the revelation that we have in the email, it seems that's exactly what it is personal. And trying to make it miserable is the word you use, and trying to get him to resign. And so, I think you need to really think hard about that. I don't think that's in the best interest of the town whatsoever, and it's not right. Thank you.
Any further public comment?
Michael Sharkey, 206. I forgot my address, sorry. St. Mary's Drive. Pardon me if my thoughts are a little scattered, because they're based on a request for emails from council members in the last few weeks. And I just received them about an hour ago, so I haven't really had a chance to absorb everything within them. But there are a few things that do stand out that kind of support what Mr. Perrin, former council person, Mr. Perrin, spoke of, about a concerted effort by council members to make the mayor's life miserable, and hopefully he'll resign. And I would like to go to an email sent by Mr. Michelson to Ms. Barker and Ms. Holcomb and read it to you. This is from Bob Michelson, bobm@townofstevensville.com. An email from the town of Stevensville, therefore public information. This is nothing secret or private to Mr. Michelson. And it's to Robin Holcomb. Excuse me, Ms. Barker. This wasn't to you. This is to Robin at townofstevensville.com. Also a town of Stevensville email address. And therefore open to anybody that wants to view it without any reason whatsoever. You need no legal reason to look at it. You can just be curious and go there and look at it. This is your property. Mr. Michelson says, unless you talk to the press, Ryan's response in parentheses, not much we could do unless we went to the press and slandered Brandon. Since we are elected officials, not much we can say in an official meeting. We'll just keep making his life miserable. Back to the Ludington area. Ha ha. You know, I can probably overlook that one discretion by Mr. Michelson, if it were the only one, but it's not. I'd like to refer to an additional one here. This is a letter to the town's attorney. I don't really understand how a councilperson has the right to go to the town attorney, but I thought we had solved that in previous administrations. But Mr. Michelson writes to Brian, the town's attorney. As you can see from the fellow council member Holcomb's email below and my email with you regarding Mayor Dewey and my conversation yesterday, the following council members would like to file a complaint against the current mayor, Brandon Dewey. The council members are Bob Michelson, Robin Holcomb, Stacy Barker. We believe our rights as council members doing our diligent duty as members representing the town of Stevensville are being violated by Mayor Dewey through yesterday's Revali Republic's article. And it gives a link to the article. And yesterday's radio broadcast of KVGO Radio gives another link to the news broadcast. We've made no statements to newspapers or radio stations. We believe these are intended to smear our credibility as council members due to our decision on the agenda item regarding Mayor Dewey's removal of the Stevensville Fire Department. On Monday night's council meeting of February 12th, 2018, and as a personal attack against us, we are elected officials of the town of Stevensville, and by putting us in newspapers and on a radio station is a violation of our right to do our elected duty as town officials. Regards, Bob Michelson. I think probably what that suggests most to me is that you don't have a clue as to what your duty is as a council person. And then we have one more that I found interesting. This one came from, I believe, Councilperson Holcomb. I gotta tell you, yeah, stop right here. This is not easy to stand up here in front of friends and neighbors and have to call you out for this kind of ugliness. I would rather be standing here and commending you for a job well done. But with perhaps one exception, I am just totally disappointed in all of you. You need to put on your big boy pants and come together here and realize you have a job to do. And you bring your personal agenda and you set it aside when you walk in here and you take on the people's agenda. Stop this crud. This is crap. You're wasting the town's time, the town's money. We voted for you to do our business, not your own little personal agenda. I got one last thought. And my wife couldn't be here tonight because she has to teach. And she asked me to read a short statement. My wife, Stephanie Mapelli, former treasurer of the Stevensville town under Mayor Jean Nimek. And she writes, two reasons come to mind. Oh, okay. I forgot I should have added this. The one thing that the response to the request for emails perhaps what was most glaring was by its absence, and that was we received emails for the period in which we requested from Ms. Barker, Ms. Holcomb, and Raymond. What was missing was emails from Mr. Michelson, the council president. The only reason I had the opportunity to read you anything from him was because they showed up in Council Holcomb's Council Barker's and Raymond's email received email accounts. So it does beg the question, what happened to Mr. Michelson's emails? There is a rumor going around that he has deleted his sent file since this kind of hit the public foray. Be interesting to know if that's true. So that's the genesis for what my wife had to say here. And she says, it's been brought to, or I'm sorry, two reasons come to mind to delete your sent mail file. One, you think it's trash, it's inconsequential, you're trying to make room for whatever. Or two, you have something to hide. Reference number one, your emails are part of the permanent record of the town of Stevensville. Reference number two, what is it you're trying to hide? For every moment you spend engaging in obstructionist politics, it is the town of Stevensville residents who get hurt. The very people who put you in office. Do something, and she underlines this, make it a plan to fix the potholes or create a sidewalk to get our kids out of the street when they walk to and from school, or enhance our parks, or the possibilities are endless. Free for you to live into your... For you to live into your job to make our community a safe and enjoyable and a terrific place to live. So, I think with that,
we have another one from Lori Knapp, 526 East 3rd Street, Stevensville. I want to start out by saying I love Stevensville. I've been here 12 years now. I've never lived in a community that I think is brighter. I had a 50th class reunion last year. 43 people came from all over the world. They couldn't believe how beautiful it was, what our community was like. Their words were idyllic, you know, utopia. They loved it. I've been gone for 3 months. I come back. The River Park issue is resolved. It looks wonderful. People are using it. The land, the ranch will be used for something that's really wonderful for the community. We have new businesses coming in. We raised a lot of money for a woman in our community who has breast cancer. Something that you wouldn't do in another town. We have so much going for us. We have events, we have First Friday, we have Main Street thriving. So why am I up here? We have a black cloud. We have one black cloud in this town. It's you guys. And I'm really, people have said they're ashamed, I'm appalled. And this is directly at you, Robin, or Councilwoman Holcomb. You're my representative for my ward. You're not representing me. I have to say that if I look at what you do in this forum, it isn't what I would like you to do. So I don't feel like you are personally representing me. We could have a meeting of the ward and discuss what we would like you to do as our representative. If you'd be open to that, I'd be happy to call it. But I don't feel like you are representing us as a town. You're taking us down. At the minimum, you're obstructionists. We have a lot to do in this town. People have mentioned sidewalks and all kinds of things. So just get on with it.
Is there any further public comment? Okay. Move on to, there's no unfinished business tonight. We'll move on to new business discussion decision. General Services Clerk hours submitted by Councilperson Michelson and Councilperson Barker. Mr. Michelson.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
In the last meeting, you stated that you had worked 121 hours last month, and the reason that fellow member Barker and I brought this to your attention is because if you're working 121 hours last month, our question would be, how are you utilizing your general services group? And putting it down on paper in hours works, but I know we don't micromanage, of course, we don't know what goes on in here. But is there any way we could you could keep a log for a couple of weeks and then report back to us on the hours that different sections of areas you're working up as a firefighter, secretary, as help for you? And, I have the floor, thank you. One last question. Who is the lady that's the gives the dog tag permits out?
How do you mean, who is the lady?
She has another title. Yeah.
Ms. Barker?
Community, we were issued a dog tag license. We were wanting to know why Brittany's name is listed as community relations representative. Shouldn't it be GSC clerk specialist?
It should. It was an oversight. Previous to the general services clerk consolidation, that letter was signed by the community relations representative.
Which is who?
At the time was me. That was prior to the general services clerk consolidation. So the general services clerk consolidated the community relations representative, the website administration, the fire clerk, and the police clerk. They consolidated all of those positions. So the last time we used that letter was when I was the community relations representative. The general services clerk time, as of late, given that she's been employed with us just short over a month, has mostly been utilized in training. And so I haven't had the opportunity to give her much else to do other than allow her to settle into her position. In regards to a log of her duties and time, that's certainly not out of the question. I think really it sounds like, though, it sounds like what triggered this was the hours that I spent in the office. And so if you have a question about my 121 hours in the month of February, my calendar is certainly open for your inspection. I have no problem making that public. The clerk has a copy of it at all times. And that could probably delineate to how much time I'm putting in the office and why. Mr. Michelson.
I would think, just for the security of the laws of the town, that until you came back to the council and wanted to change her formal name to whatever you wanted, I think you should keep it as general services clerk all the way across, because it confuses people. You do not have that authority to change job titles, job descriptions, without the approval of the town council. I'm not taking it personally. I'm not. This is just...
It is
written in the town bylaws. So when we see that across our desk, we question changing different job titles around. I don't care what you do, but please come through town council through proper protocol, and we'll go with it. Thank you.
It's clear you didn't hear me when I told you that the letter with the title or community relations representative was an oversight. I didn't change anyone's position. I didn't change anyone's name or title. It was an oversight. I noticed it when I got the letter myself. It appears that there's a few of us that apparently need to license our animals. I didn't take any negligent action to do anything, so I feel like you're to some degree trying to reprimand me for something that I didn't maliciously do. But it's nothing personal, so. Is there any other discussion on the matter? Okay. Move on to the executive report. I apologize. Is there any public comment on the item? Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Cruz, 316 9th Street. Well, I'm looking at the agenda item, it says discussion decision. What decision did you guys reach?
There was no decision asked for, and just because it says decision does not require a decision. We can simply discuss it and move forward if that's the prerogative of the council. Mr. Michelson.
Is the council satisfied with his answer as far as the coming back in 2 weeks with a detailed report, or are you satisfied with his answer?
Ms. Barker.
I would just like to see a little bit more of watching what she does or letting us know what she's doing throughout her day so that we know that she's helping you when the help is needed instead of you putting in all those extra hours as well.
Okay. To be clear, I didn't agree to come back in 2 weeks to give you a report on the activity of the employee. It is my job as the executive to manage the employees. And I'll do so, but I don't think bringing a log of the employee's activity to a council meeting is really appropriate. Any further public comment? Mr. Motley.
As the GSC, one of the GSC's frontline supervisors, I can't be more thankful that we do have her in employment. She's doing me a super bang-up job. I'm very happy with what she's doing. She's starting to gain traction now, get her feet and legs up underneath her, understanding what her duties and responsibilities are as far as the fire department it is. And I do believe that we do need to allow her or anybody in the employee in that type of position some time to get their legs and get their feet under them to figure out the ins and outs. As you all know, this isn't a real simple, cut, clean job that we're asking her to perform, and I think she's doing a wonderful job of it. I'm very glad to help her.
I would concur. Mr. Michelson.
I'm not questioning Mayor Dewey, her hours. I'm questioning. I was only trying to be helpful to you with your remark when I said 121 hours 2 weeks ago. When you said you worked 121 hours last month.
Yes.
I took it that maybe you were overworked. That's why I brought it to Stacy and I brought you back to see if you were overworked or needed more help.
If I can respond, the reason I informed you of my hours was because, A, it had never been done before. I mean, I don't think you guys had any idea of the hours that the executive was spending in the office or working for the organization. It was simply an informational piece. If at some point I see that this is a burden or that I'm being overworked, then certainly I'd address that with the staff and with you folks. But it's simply an informational piece to you guys that I just wanted to bring you aware of. Mr. Motley, did you have a comment?
Yeah, the topic is the general services clerk hours, not the mayor's hours, so mm-hmm. I don't want to go down that road.
Any further council or public comment?
Stacy?
No, she changed her mind.
That's exactly what I was bringing up. That's not the issue, is general services clerk, not the mayor's hours, so.
Okay, we'll move on. Executive report, just have a couple of things for you. The last meeting, we agreed to bring an application to this meeting for the CDBG program. That process has been delayed due to a number of different circumstances. Julie's leaving the country, and so we can expect to see something in that regard, and she works with Lorraine upon her return. So we'll take some time on that. I will be attending the executive forum for mayors and city managers this Wednesday. It's held in Polson. Excuse me, it's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, held in Polson. In regards to my absence, the staff knows that I can be reached at any time should something come up. The internal advertising for the town clerk court clerk position will expire on Thursday, which will mean then that the public advertising will commence and will aggressively begin recruiting someone to fill Stacy's shoes, which will without any doubt be a challenge to fill. That's all I have. Town council comments. Mr. Michelson.
Due to the recent state of actions and Mayor Dewey going to the press, I feel that it's my time to come out and tell my side of the story. You're right, Mr. Dewey. From your highlighted areas here with your yellow marker, this thing did set off back in December, but it actually really started back in November. It started in November during the transition when we had our private meeting between City Attorney Brian West, myself, former Mayor James Cruz, and you. Discussion came up about the fire department status, in which ex-Mayor Cruz asked if you had made a decision yet. You said you had not. City Attorney Brian West asked you if you, for the betterment of the town, you might consider resigning from the Stephenville Fire Department. That set off a trigger to which you got up and publicly stated to us four in that room that we were out to get you. We were on a witch hunt. This is in front of the city attorney. You got up, you stormed out of the meeting. We moved forward 1 month. To January. The first meeting between, which I thought was between you and me and City Attorney Brian West. When I pulled up there, got out of the car, came in here, went into your office, you had already beat me to the door and stated in front of City Attorney Brian West that from now on, all meetings between you, City Attorney Brian West, and me were now over. You shut the door. I didn't know what was going on at my home. Brian had a clue. He sent me an email the next day. He said, it is apparent that you and Mr. Dewey are at odds. Is there any way that we could rectify this and we could cut it to a half hour where I could do a personnel meeting and then you could come in, which was me, and we could discuss town business? And I said, yes, I can do that. So at the next meeting in February, after discussing personnel issues, I came in, we sat down. Brian stated he couldn't stay long because he had to be here in court. And when he got up and left, we spoke a few words, and when I got up to leave, I asked you, Mayor Dewey, do you have anything else to add before I go? In which you said, yes, I want you to know you had better be very careful of who you go and where you go and who you're seeing. In which I said, what is that about? And you said, you're being watched. I said, what? And you said, you're spending an awful lot of time over at Mayor Cruz's house. And we've been watching for the last 45 days. And I left the room. I went home. I was mad. I was hurt. I felt like my rights were being violated. Because when the mayor tells the city councilman behind closed doors that he's being watched, he's being spied on, be careful what I say, be careful where I'm at, be careful who I'm with, I don't take that lightly. I filed an email to Brian West. I went over to Chief Marble's office and had a discussion with him. I made an official statement on record to cover my butt, to make sure that none of this is hearsay. Went back to Brian, waited for his reply. He said, you know, basically, work it out. So we fast forward to the chain of events that led up to your removal from the volunteer fire department. It wasn't a personal vendetta. All along, as you can see from my discussion with former Mayor Cruz, me, City Attorney Brian West, it falls under state law. It's an incompatible office. And you were also collecting a garbage, which is a department, and also a department, which you cannot do. We discussed this at that meeting at length, made a decision. Robin Holcomb, City Attorney, was sitting right there. After all the discussion supporting you, we still voted in favor of the City Attorney because he had even asked you at the one meeting if you want, for the betterment of the town, if you wanted to resign. And again, you got up earlier, like I stated. So we were out to get you. We were on a witch hunt. I don't know if that meant just me and Mr. Former Mayor Cruz, or maybe if you thought maybe Brian West was on. So after that night, when we removed you, the next day, you went public on it, you went to the press, you went to the Valley Republic radio station, and basically twisted the story. You played like you were the victim, that in your humble opinion, one or two or maybe all of the council members were out to get you, have you removed. In the background, which we considered at the time as safe and personal emails, we were doing correspondence back and forth with each other, asking questions to the town attorney and seeking guidance. In all of my years and theirs, and Robin's been here a long time, she had never got that kind of reaction from a mayor going to public to the his removal and saying that we were out to get him. So of course we thought we were maybe having our names out in the public didn't sit well. So we did a background doing correspondence, going back and forth, getting answers from Brian West, and we moved on. He basically told us, it's politics. You guys work it out. Although, he says word for word, although last night's decision was newsworthy, it's basically just political theater. You guys work it out. So when we move forward to last week, and we were still having discussions, and last Wednesday. You scheduled another committee of the whole meeting. We had been through this already in January. And we had told you that it is the council's decision, not yours, to schedule committee of the whole meeting. That is only the one meeting that we have that we can, we can hold, that you cannot call on. But again, you overstepped your bounds then. You called it, none of us did it. I came in here, and I gave you a TED application. You were sitting in here with your wife, having lunch. And I said, Mayor Dewey, I think you have to remove that committee of the whole meeting. We discussed this earlier, and it is the only one meeting that the council can actively call. It's not your call. To which you threw a rant, you threw your food down, and you said, what is the issue with you? Why is this an issue? And I said, because it's the law. It's the rule we go by. To which you replied, just get out of here. Leave me alone. I want to have my lunch. And I said, okay, I'll leave. I said, just so you know, that it is the law. An hour later, an email came across that said that maybe the whole meeting was canceled. And that there pulled your trigger. Because you went home that night, and then last Thursday, you sent all of us an email. And you sent us letters. First with the email, but it's the exact same to the letter. Based on numerous instances where I have been subject to scrutiny and unfair judgment by you as elected officials, I have reasonable suspicion that some portion of the council is actively working to drive me out of office by bringing constant and unnecessary attacks against me. This letter served as a notice that your public email accounts will be accessed immediately, determined if the town council, collectively or otherwise, has made efforts to unjustifiably remove or terrorize me out of the office of Mayor of Stevensville. If I find documentation that's claim, it will be addressed at the next town council meeting. Well, you didn't follow proper protocol. You did not have access to our computers. You had already accessed them, otherwise this letter would not have come out. You proved that with your Friday TV interview with Kevin Mackey and KECI News. When you said, being the mayor, I have access to all these emails. You went in and you picked and choose with a highlighter the little sections that you thought were, you could come out to the press and smear me and smear my fellow council members. Mm-hmm. This was all order of business. You don't get to pick and choose through emails the ones that you think that you want. You've got to read the whole content. The whole thing says a story. And the story was, we felt we were unduly attacked, unjustifiable action by you to the press by going out there and making those false statements. You're working in the background all the time. You came out and played the victim. When all in fact, you were working in the background in the shadows, bullying me by closing me out of meetings with you and Brian Olson, privately in the back room, when you said I was being watched, I better be careful where I go and who I see, and then you came out
Don't you have an end to this story?
Point of order. I have the floor.
Screw your point of order. End the story.
To you.
Okay. I have a right to talk. Point of order. I'll have you removed.
Mr. Michelson, if you'd just be sensitive to the time and the public's time, we appreciate that.
I am.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
So, again, I say, you do not have the right. You didn't follow proper protocol. We wouldn't even be in this situation if you wouldn't have, with your reckless behavior, went into those emails. Yes, they are public. Yes, the public can have all of them. But if you notice, everybody that comes in here, they have to fill out a form. It's a Freedom of Information Act. Goes through the protocol, Stacy sends it to Brian West. Brian West looks at it, says, yes, they're public, comes back. He has to get permission from all of us first to release it.
No, he does not. That's not correct.
That's not correct.
Your emails on this town.
Point of order, guys.
Okay.
We have the floor right now.
Mr. Michelson has the floor. We can debate this all evening, probably, but this is not a time for public comment. It's a time for town council comments. If you have rebukes towards the council, I suggest you contact them after the meeting, post adjournment. Mr. Michelson, if you'd please finish.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Like I said, you didn't follow the proper protocol. Yes, they are public. That doesn't give you the right just to come in and rape our security because you just feel you can pick and choose email words out of there for your satisfaction to take out to the press, to stir them up. And I notice you single me out every time at the end. My picture's on the thing. Yes, I did say, make your life miserable. Yes, I did say, back to the letting era. Ha, ha, ha. What they don't understand is, our first 3 months on this council as rookies, Stacy and I, they were tenuous. We had to select, he appointed a judge, didn't go through, went back, and that's what I was referring to. Because Paul Luddington made a statement in paper to the term that we had made his life miserable. He couldn't work with the council. He left. So in my statement, which you didn't understand, Robin got it. It was nothing personal. But again, in your side of it, all along, you felt that you put the race card on me, calling me personal. When I turned around, and all the time, Mayor Dewey, you were personally attacking me privately, behind closed doors, shutting me out, and that's not right. Which brings me to this, tonight's agenda. The reason why there's nothing going on is because of you. By shutting me out of those meetings, and every time since then I've came up here to have discussions with you, I've come in and you've shut the door right in front of me. I pull up to the handicap out there, come on in to ask your town business, you shut the door on me again. When you do that, you're shutting the door on three other council members here. I am their voice. So who's taking it personal? So I quit coming in. I told him. He shut me out. Due to that, we have one agenda item tonight. Stacy Barker and I hadn't brought that to you. There wouldn't have been anything on the agenda. So yeah, it's easy for the public to look at it. It's easy for the public to say it's me. I get that. But when you go to the TV stations and go to the press and make those statements, without the facts, that's wrong. Everything I say tonight is true. I backed everything I have to an email to Brian West. I made a statement to you to the fact, to Chief Marble. I backed it all up. I didn't want to come to this, but it did. You had no right to go into our emails without our opinion. I think you've been doing it all along. Because if you got in that easy and you sent a letter to us, the email the next day, that doesn't give you the right just to go in and go through our emails and pick and choose what you want. And no, I didn't take any pages out of there. That's ludicrous. If you look at the whole story, they tell a story in every email which you never see, it's about the Brian West. He comes back, there's no gaps in there. You guys don't know it because a lot of you don't know how town government works. It works in the background, we get a lot of stuff done. So, where we go from here, I don't know. I kept all this to myself. Went all the way back to December. And now I came to when we removed you from the volunteer fire department, yes, I knew you were hurt. We didn't do it if we wanted you. We did it because it's a law. But that wasn't good enough for you. You started working the shadows and went out the next day, started smearing the council members, started smearing me, set up a chain of reactions, so we started working in an underground, which we thought were privately to Brian West. Correspondence back and forth, basically do this, do that, okay, okay. And then, like I said, after that meeting last Wednesday, you went rogue. I had to put you overboard because you sent us this letter, sent us an email, went to the TV station. Why? And play the victim. When all along, you were down doing what you had to do to try to get some attack me in the shadow. I didn't tell anybody this. I didn't want anybody to do this, but it came out this way. So, by this blatant and reckless behavior of yours that nobody knows, I backed every statement I said tonight. With the city attorney and Sheriff Marvin. I'll let the facts lay right there. And I'll hand the floor back to you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other council comment? Ms. Holcomb.
I just want to, I was not personally attacking our mayor. It did come down, yes, the first time we ever heard of the Third Street, the meeting with the Third Street was on the news. We've already started on the news. We asked him about it. And so, you know, it's been brought up that he needs mentor. Well, we're trying, but every time something comes up, we ended up on the news again, just like with the Third Street. And then when we came down with the fire department, it was not a personal attack. It was not a witch hunt. We were going by the advice of our attorney. If we're not going to go by the advice of our attorney, why are we paying and why do we have an attorney? We went by the advice of our attorney, even after, like Council Person Michelson said, after everybody had spoken, I went back to our attorney. I said, after you have just heard everything, do you still stand behind your advice? He said he did. So we felt, well, I felt, I'm not going to speak for any of the other council, I felt that was the advice we had to take. It was never a personal attack against our mayor. It was never a witch hunt. And then when he went to the news and said that's what it was, yes, then I did contact, I went by protocol, I contacted our council president. I said I would like to file a grievance because I felt like I was being bullied. I was being attacked because I was attacked after that meeting. And I don't think it's right. We are trying to make things work. He even said, when he became a mayor, he said he would like to work together to bring this town forward. So far, everything has been put on hold because we're being personally attacked with the news. It's not that we wanted to do this, but with the advice of our attorney, we had to do it. We gave him pretty many options to make that decision himself, and it came down to it that we had to make, we had to bring it to a meeting on the agenda to have it done. And then we're on the news again, being that we're personally attacking them, and we're hiding stuff, and we're doing. All I ever sent in an email was I would like to file a grievance. I went through the chain of command. Our council president can send emails to our attorney, but we can't. But our council president can. I went through the chain of command. I'm sorry you all feel that way. I don't have nothing personally against our mayor. But I would like for us to move forward and start doing what we're supposed to be doing and do our job. But we can't when we keep getting put on hold because we're being attacked on the news. So, I just wanted to make my statement at our council meeting because I know I have been being called and I apologize I have not got back to you, but I do work a full-time job, and it is stressful when people are coming into my job and asking me questions about it, and I won't respond to it, but I want to let you know that I'm having people come into Hamilton thinking it's a joke, and I don't want our town to be a joke. I'm trying to do the best I can for our town. I have listened to everybody that has come, but at that day, at that time, I had to go by the advice of our attorney. If we're not going to, then we don't need one. Thank you.
Any other council comment? Ms. Barber.
I'd like to say for the record as well, I had nothing to hide in any of those emails to anybody. I never once said a bad thing about Brandon. I've never been on a witch hunt after Brandon. I'm here to work with Brandon, and I'm here to move forward with our town as well. I don't know how many people have come and asked me about town policies at my own work. I've had to say, I'm sorry. I cannot address that. I am at my own personal work time. Brandon, what did you find on me going through those emails? Nothing. I took an oath for my town to do what needs to do to move forward. But again, every time we try to move forward, somebody calls the press on something. I'm over it. Why? Other than things that he thinks that he needs to be addressed, not what the council has. I want to mentor you, Brandon, as somebody, but I can't if you don't let us. And don't roll your eyes and sit there. I've seen the smirks and everything else. I'm here to work with you and to follow the laws that the laws need to be done. That's all I've ever asked, is to follow the laws. I'm done.
Any further council comment?
Well, I was going to stay out of this dogfight, but I have been kind of said that I'm not doing my job. Well, my job is to take the Bible that I was given when I was elected that tells me public use of records. Public inspection of public records is permitted during regular office hours. Records are to remain in the clerk's office at all times and in order to ensure integrity of the records. A city-town employee must be present while records are being inspected. The clerk should always consult with the city attorney with questions concerning a request for public records. Your town, city, may charge for those copies, fees, rules should be indicated in your manual or pertinent resolutions. Do not release the following information: personnel, payroll, medical, and or files, records pertaining to juveniles, records required to be kept confidential by federal law or regulation by state law, utility customer information, and documents containing legal questions or information concerning potential or pending actual litigation. If the record is denied and the person is not satisfied, he or she may contact the mayor and city attorney. Inform the mayor and city attorney that they will be contacted tacked regarding the denial of the record and why access was denied. Use caution if you have any questions about releasing a record or document and contact the city attorney for legal advice. Your town, city may have policies or procedures relating to providing records to the public. Below are some of those procedures providing records that some cities have adopted. That it be made in person. Person requesting it to complete the request for public information form. Pay the fees. For the request made via phone. The person receiving request should ask if the requester can fax or email the request. If not, person receiving request can fill out the request of public records form. Requester must agree to pay the fees. For a request made via email, the email can be used in place of the request for public records form. But the email must be filed with the other request for public records forms. Requester must again pay the fees. Okay? Then we get over here to where we talk about privileged communications. Documents from council in the grievance policy is a privileged communication between a council member and the attorney. No one has the right for that until the attorney has approved the release of that document. For you to access those documents on your own without any other employee present constitute a breach of your mayoral duties. And I'm sorry I have to point that out. I don't like this because this is BS. Our town is suffering. We were elected to do their job. We were elected to provide them with legal remedies and make sure we don't get sued or are part of the issue. And the way I see it right now is you are, in essence, slandering the whole council because of the actions of a few, if you want to call those actions, accountable. It's part of politics when somebody, you have to have a thick skin. But there are policies and procedures that have to be pursued when you make these accusations. And you did not follow those policies. And again, we are in this situation not because of us as a council, but because of your actions as the mayor, not following the policies set forth. And I have a problem with having to say this because I was really hoping we could move forward, that we could become a functioning government, because that's what I was elected to do, was to be a functional member of this community and to move things forward. The issues we have facing us are tremendous. We leak 7 million gallons a month or better of water. So we're paying electricity for water being pumped that isn't being used or being lost. We don't know where that's going, so we need to address those. We have sidewalks that are not being addressed. We have streets that are not being addressed. We have employee issues that are not being addressed. And all of this has an adverse effect on the employees of our town because they are stuck in the middle of it, because they have to deal with not only us, not only you, but then tell the public. So it's just making it a frustrating and untenable situation. How can we move forward when the trust was broken by you illegally accessing the documents? If you were the requester, you should have not been the accessor either. It should have gone through another employee. Whether that employee knew how to do it or not is irrelevant. If you are the website administrator, that's not part of your mayoral duties. That is, as you stated, the GSC clerk's administrative duties, correct? So we or you could have walked that individual through and not accessed those emails and viewed those confidential emails between council members and the attorney. That's the issue I have, is the procedures were not followed. And that opens us as council members and as mayor to legal ramifications. And the releasing to the press stating that your counsel is totally against you is slanderous, because these emails do not reflect that there was a conspiracy to get rid of you. And basically that's kind of what you said on the news, was all of the council members are against you. Not just Mr. Michelson or Mrs. Barker. Then it went to Mrs. Michelson or Mr. Michelson and Mrs. Holcomb. So I don't understand how you could access those documents following procedure and still go to the press and say it's our issue, that we are the bad ones here. I'm sorry that I'm speaking openly, but this is the truth. I was elected to follow the law. You elected me to follow the law. I am doing what you elected me to do. Again, we, as a council, I've only been elected since January when I took office. But during that time, it has come across and made me aware that there was, on three separate occasions, you were advised that it was incompatible. But you chose to continue moving it forward, that you didn't have to listen to our own town's attorney. So we, as council members, had to functionally utilize the law, functionally utilize the gentleman standing across from, or sitting across from us, that we pay money for, who gave us his opinion that it was incompatible and that you should resign until the AG made his decision for the betterment of the town. And that's what I was elected for, is to make this the best town I possibly can make it. And that's what I have been doing as a citizen and as a park board chairperson, as the skate park, as whatever I can do to help the community. Now I'm on the airport board, so I am helping the airport with their events. But there are procedures and policies that we as elected officials must abide by. And that is the biggest issue that I'm seeing right now. And so, as everybody wants to say, how can we move on? Well, how can we move on? What are we going to do? Do we bring in a outside third party and we have a sit down, all of us in private, and really hash it out? Or do we have a public, which we're having right now, and hash it out? But again, I get back to, procedures, policies, and laws were violated. And what are we going to do about that? That's all I have to say.
Are there any board reports?
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move
to adjourn. We've passed the public comment period, so we're going to adjourn the meeting. Ms. Holcomb, you've moved to adjourn. Is there a second?
Mr. Tabb,
I just want to say I'm in total support of the council after hearing everything from tonight. Okay, thank you.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. We adjourn.